Well, as we're going to deal with a storm, a particular form of storm, it is in change. And change is a constant in life, is it not? I mean, let's think through this for a few moments. Change is a constant. I mean, if there's anything that we can count on, it is that there is going to be change. We fall in love, get married, children are born, we grow older, our children grow up, move away. People we know and love die, we switch jobs and careers. But even though change takes place in our lives, we often are uncomfortable with that change. Change naturally brings anxiety into our lives, even if it's a good change. It brings anxiety into our lives because there's a shift in physical, social, emotional, spiritual environments with which we become familiar and our comfort level is altered. That's what's kind of disturbing about change. We are so comfortable with life. We like things the same, which is part of the reason that change is anxiety-producing, is that we love things to be the way that they are. In Thailand, and I happen to be a Thailand expert, I don't know if this is true in Africa, America. All I know, my expertise, my field of expertise is Thailand. And if you believe that, I have some land in Florida that I'd like to sell you. But in Thailand, the way that they tame elephants, an elephant is captured, and immediately what they do is they place an iron band around the elephant's foot, attached to a heavy chain, and the chain is attached to a tree. Now, at first, the elephant lifts its leg and pulls, trying with all its strength to break the chain, to get away, and to uproot the tree, and finally, the elephant gives up. Day after day after day, the elephant tries to get away and cannot, and finally gives up. And so after this, the powerful animal lifts its leg and feels even the slightest tension on it and drops its foot back to the ground in complete submission. And so what would take place after the elephant is trained is that the elephant is taken out to work and is chained only to a small little stake in the ground that the elephant could easily rip up, but the elephant doesn't even try because it has become used to its bondage and it won't even try to experience freedom. It's the way an elephant is trained. Isn't that kind of like us? It's we become so used to the way that things are that we won't even try to break free, to experience something different. And that's why when change comes upon us, it's often met with anxiety. It's a stress producer. It takes us out of our comfort zone, and therefore it's a storm. Now, some changes, such as pregnancy and retirement, are happy and welcome events. Even those kinds of stresses, those kind of changes, can cause stress because all change involves loss. You might want to write that down. All change really involves loss. For example, even if someone's moving to a new neighborhood, a better house, a better neighborhood, whose life, you know, your life is going to be more pleasant, the old way of life is being lost. That which you are accustomed to is being lost. And so, therefore, it brings stress. University of Washington years ago developed a stress test. A stress test that you can take about events that go on in life and then a relative value of stress that has been attached to it. And you can go through and you can determine what your personal level of stress is. And then, of course, the University of Washington went one step further to say that if you were over, for instance, a reading of 200, then you were at risk of becoming ill. Now, this is this has become a famous stress indicator, a survey that people have taken and used in many different fields. In fact, here are the items that are on that. The death of a spouse evidently is a stressor. And that has a relative value of 100. I didn't put all the values down here, but you can all take the test. To see, divorce is a stressor, marital separation. Jail term has a tendency to create a little stress. Death of family member, personal injury or illness, marriage in and of itself causes stress. Fired from work, that's a stress producer. Marital reconciliation, even that change is bringing stress. Retirement, family member's health, pregnancy. You go through and you see these are the listing of life events that cause stress in a person's life. Now, I want you to just mentally go through all of those and ask yourself if they involve change. What you will see is that 95% of these life events have one common element, and that is that they represent change. If you lose a spouse, that's a pretty major change. Divorce, pretty major change. Marital separation, jail term, death of a family member, personal injury or illness, marriage, maybe not. Fired from work, change. Reconciliation, change. Retirement, change. Every one of those representing change that creates stress and anxiety in our lives. True? Alvin Toffler, in his landmark book, Future Shock, says that when people go through rapid times of change, they need what he called islands of stability. When there is so much changing in your life, and we're not even talking about the change that is inherent with just living in this world, changing values, changing opinions, changing environment, changing political. I mean, everything is constantly at change outside of us, in addition to what's going on inside of us, that we long for islands of stability. There needs to be something that will not change in our lives that we can hang on to for stability. Is that not true? God made human beings to be very adaptable, very flexible. We can handle enormous variety in our lives. That's why we live in every kind of climate, every kind of situation. We do in America, do all over the world. But you need, when everything is flying off the wall, coming unglued, unplugged, and the hurricanes of change are coming through your life, you need to have something in your life that doesn't change. Something that does not change that you could anchor yourself to. And the question is there anything like that in the world? My guess is there are probably some things in your life that you thought were unchangeable 2 or 3 years ago, but they've changed already. And they weren't reliable. Is there anything that never, ever changes? That's what we're going to focus on today. Is there anything that never, ever changes? And I told you that I'm going to get personal today. Because 2.5 years ago, I experienced a storm of enormous change. When private demons became public, my livelihood was gone, relationships gone, dignity gone. And in that moment of enormous storm, I'm going to share with you 3 lifelines that I had that I hung to tenaciously that are really the reason that I'm here today. 3 lifelines that the only thing that I didn't lose in the midst of this enormous storm was my family, which, when you think about it, that's a pretty good deal. And it was my family who continued to offer me these 3 lifelines. So what I'm sharing here with you is not nice and, you know, and book-knowledge-y stuff and stuff that is sing-songy, spiritually nicey stuff. This is real stuff, folks. That is the stability in the midst of change, in the midst of storms. And it's not only in theory. I'm telling you, this is the real deal. Number 1, what never changes that we need to hold so tight to? God's love never changed. God's love will never change. Malachi 3:6, God says, He says, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, is that good news to anybody but me? I, the Lord, do not change. In a world of enormous change, in a world of enormous instability, God says, I want you to know I never change. There's a theological term for that, and it's called the immutability of God. You might want to write that down, but why? Just what fancy theologian type. It's the immutability of God. Why can't you just say God doesn't change? Because that's what it means. So it means he's always been the same, he is the same, and he always will be the same. Why doesn't God ever change? Is it he's just kind of doesn't have the ability to change? Doesn't want to change? Too stubborn to change? Is he stuck in his ways? The reason that he doesn't change is because God is perfect. And when you're perfect, you can't get any better. And so there's really not a need to change. And God is perfect, so God says, I will never change. Now, how is that good news? Because you combine that with Jeremiah 31:3, when he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's unchanging and everlasting love. You were created as an object of God's love. You were made to be loved by God. You want to know why you're here on this earth? God says God is love, and he created you to have a love relationship with you. God's love for you is unchanging. It is continuous. It is everlasting. It is consistent. God never gets moody. God never has a bad hair day. God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed. People never say, what's got into God today? He's grumpy today. Stay away from him. Never is that the case. Never. He needs to go back to bed. He got up on the wrong side of the bed. He needs more sleep. He stayed up too late last night. God is not moody. The Bible says that God is always unchanging in his love toward us. Now that is such good news, because while God is consistent, guess what? I am incredibly inconsistent. So are you. God is unchanging, God is consistent, and I am so inconsistent. The Bible teaches that God loves me just as much on my good days as he does on my bad. And this is that which I had trouble grasping onto. That God's love is not dependent upon my good days, not dependent on my doing good things always. God's love for me is dependent on his character. He loves me on my good days, my bad days. He loves me when I feel it. He loves me when I don't feel it. He loves me when I think I'm close to God. And he loves me when I feel far away. His love is not based on my performance. It is based on his character. It is consistent. It is continual. It is everlasting. No matter what happens to you in your life from this moment on, you can be sure of this, is that God is not going to stop loving you. No matter how severe the storm, and no matter how pivotal you were in even making the storm, God's love for you will not stop. Now, this is tough for us to grasp onto, because it is so different from human love, isn't it? Human love is fickle. We love, and then we don't love. We're hot, and then we're cold. I run into people who say to me, my husband isn't the man I married. Yeah, you aren't either. You know. Or, you know, I can't make sense out of my boyfriend. You know, he likes me one day, he doesn't like me the next. Or my dad is so inconsistent. One day I'm a hero, and the next day I'm a zero. I can't figure out from day to day. We are fickle. Human love is fickle. It is conditional. The truth is, some days, I don't even want to love anybody. You ever been there? And thank God, God is not like that. His love is consistent, everlasting, unchanging. God is not like us at all. Psalm 119 says, your love never changes, Lord. It never changes. It never changes. You can count on him no matter what happens in your future. The point is, we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. Always. And when we doubt God's love, it leads us into a valley of hopelessness. God loves you. Oh, I needed that. I needed that lifeline so much. That God loves me in spite of me. In spite of me. God loves me. That never changes. And it is the stability in the midst of a storm, any storm in your life. Romans 8 says, there is nothing that gets between us and God's love. Nothing. Neither death nor life, neither things nor present nor in the future. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Would you please write that down? There is nothing that can separate me from God's love. Oh, I needed that so badly. Nothing. Nothing. God is not going to change his mind about you. When you get up in the morning, he's not going to have decided, I don't think I'm going to love him anymore. I don't think I'm going to love her anymore. I've decided I'm just going to stop. I'm just fed up. Never. Ever. You will never be loved by God any more than you are at this very moment. And you will never be loved by God any less than you are at this moment. God loves you. Do you know that? God loves you. Unchanging. Unchanging. Always has, always will. Unchanging. The second lifeline, the second thing that will never change, God's word will never change. I'm talking about his laws, commands, principles that are in God's word about life. In Isaiah 40, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It is timeless. It is enduring. It is eternal. It never withers. It always is fresh. It doesn't get stale. God's word never gets out of date. Now, this compared to human writing is kind of different. Because when human beings write things, we often get out of date very quickly. Our society is changing so fast, we're making such breakthroughs in science, technology, medicine, things like that. Today, a science textbook that takes 3 or 4 years to write is out of date before it goes to print. Because we're discovering things on such a rapid basis. That's how human ideas get out of date. But notice Psalm 119. It says, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. You know, what God did in his word is he didn't give temporary suggestions. You know, saying that, you know, today this is applicable, but in 15 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, this stuff will be ancient and outmoded. It won't relate whatsoever. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It abides forever. No book has been more criticized, more judged, more ridiculed, more banned, more burned than the Bible throughout history, and yet it endures forever because God's word will never fade away. When Alan Shepard, astronaut, was getting ready to go up in space for the very first time, a reporter asked him, he says, what are you depending on for this flight? And his answer was classic because he says, I'm depending upon the fact that God's laws will not change. That's a pretty good answer. As I go into space, you know, into uncharted territory, I'm counting on the fact that God's laws will not change. God has established certain physical laws in the universe. physics and chemistry and all kinds of science study these laws and discover how they operate. Like if you jump off a tall building, you're going to go down. You can count on that. That's a law of the universe, that when you break it, it breaks you. When you jump off a building, you are going to go down. If you mix certain chemicals and you put them in your eye, you're going to go blind. Anytime you ignore God's physical laws, you're going to go, for instance, go 100 miles an hour and run your car into a wall, then you don't break the law breaks you. If I jump off a tall building, I don't break the law of gravity, gravity breaks me. There are certain laws in the universe that God has established that remain constant. They never change. In the same way, God has established spiritual principles, spiritual laws that also remain in force and will forever. Spiritual laws of the universe, saying these are the parameters of which I intend people to live. And when we ignore those laws, those spiritual laws, then we don't break them, they break us. We get hurt. And God says, I want you to listen to my word. I want you to grab onto my word as a lifeline. Do you know what the most basic, fundamental temptation that we have is? It's a temptation that Adam and Eve had, and it's the same one that you and I have every single day of our lives. Every time we're tempted to respond by saying, did God really say that you don't eat from that tree? Did God really say that? Is that really what God meant? Are you sure that's what God really meant? I'm not sure that's what he really meant. That's all Satan needed to do in the garden to put Eve into a dizzy. Yeah, maybe right. And it's the same temptation, the most common temptation that we get all the time. The temptation is to doubt God's word. It is to doubt God's word. The first and most basic temptation is the temptation to doubt God's word. Did God really say, don't do that? Did God really say that we all ought to be this way, do this? If Satan can get us to do that, then we can fall for anything. We can wander. We can fall. There are many variations of this today, this doubting God's word temptation. One of them goes like this, that I know that it says in the Bible that that this is the way that things are supposed to be in marriage, in business, with my finances, you name it. I know that's what God's word says, but I think that was for people back then. I don't think it means today. God doesn't invent new rules for each new generation. The truth is eternal. It never changes. What was true 1,000 years ago is true today. What is right 1,000 years ago is right today. What is wrong 1,000 years ago is wrong today. And it's not something that you take an opinion poll on. God has established truths. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 5. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is saying, if you want to have a stable home, then you build it on an unchanging foundation. You've got to build it on a rock. They know it well in California. You don't go out and build a house on shifting sands and earthquake territory, or it may float off into the ocean. If you're going to build a solid house that lasts, it's got to be built on a solid foundation of rock that does not change. And the same is true for our lives. We need to build our lives on the unchanging word of God, the truth of God's word. Not to grab onto popular opinions that are going to change, psychology books that are going to change, what Oprah says that's going to change. God's word. A secret stabilizer from personal experience. If you want to lower the stress and if you want to have a foundation in your life that cannot be shaken, then memorize the Word of God. Maybe you ought to write that down a little bit. It's to be in the Word of God every day. I mean, it is a lifeline for me to be in the Word of God every day. And it certainly was during my storm. Oh, my goodness. to be in the Word and to hear the truth, because there's so much untruth that was swirling around me. So many voices that were coming at me that were sharing things that were not true. And I so desperately needed to hear the truth, the unfettered truth of the Word of God, the promise of His grace, the outline of hope, the foundation that was going to withstand the storm that was swirling outside. Do you hear that? And so to read the Word of God is essential, and to arm yourself with that, even when the skies are sunny. But then to memorize it, because there will be situations that you will not have a Bible in that you need the counsel and the Word of God. You don't always have a Bible in your hand when you're battling with your wife. You don't always have a Bible in your hand when your boss, who is a grade A jerk, is testing you and pushing you. You do not always have a Bible in your hand when there is a temptation that you are undergoing. You don't always have a Bible in your hand when a storm overcomes you quickly. And it is such a lifeline to have the Word of God in your heart. And to be able to say, oh, this I will stand on, the Word of God. This I will stand on, the Word of God. It's a secret stabilizer to prepare us for the storms, a lifeline of the Word of God. And some of you say, well, I can't memorize Scripture. It'll be like my son who, he can, I've got a son, he's different. He is like a walking encyclopedia for sports facts. I mean, you could ask him who the Outland Trophy winner from 1953 was, and he'd tell you without even hesitating. Could name all the Heisman Trophy winners, forever. I mean, his brothers love to watch football with him because, any question they have, he has the answer. Okay, it'd be a little ridiculous for Adam to tell me he can't memorize Scripture. Because he can memorize sports facts, like he's got this photographic memory. And isn't that true of us all? We can remember phone numbers. We can remember license plate numbers. We can remember all kinds of things. But then when we say memorize Scripture, oh, I just can't do that. We can memorize what we want to memorize. And so to devote, some Scripture to memory. Put it on a 3x5 card. As you're reading through, if something strikes you, write it on a 3x5 card. Carry it around with you for a while. Bring it out and just get it into your heart. Get it into your heart. Because it is such a lifeline. The stability of the Word of God. Third thing that never changes is God's purpose for my life will never change. And God's purpose for your life will never change. It's a lifeline. The third thing I can understand and know confidently, God's purpose for my life will never change. 1 Samuel says, God is not a man. He doesn't change his mind. I'm really glad for that verse. Long before you were born, God planned you, and that plan has never changed. He created you for a purpose. God made you for a reason. If you're alive today, if you're breathing, God has a purpose for your life. Do you know that? And it's not to go to work, come home, watch TV, ultimately retire, and die. That's not the purpose that God has for your life. God has a purpose that He designed even before you were born for you, for me. Have you noticed that often your plans get changed? Anybody other than me? That our plans get changed, and why do they get changed? Well, one is that we can't foresee the future. And so we make these great plans, and all of a sudden future events unfold, and guess what? Well, we need to go to plan B, because this plan isn't too well. The second reason that our plans change is that we may have these grandiose plans. I've had them. I got all these grandiose plans. The only problem is I don't have the power to pull them off. I don't have the resources to pull them off. Great plan, great business plan, but don't have the time, or don't have the money, don't have the energy. Something's not available to you. And so the plans change. God's plan never changes because guess what? He can see into the future. And second, He has all the resources necessary right at His fingertips. So God's plan for you, for me, never changes, even when we get in the way of it. Do you hear this? Even when we get in the way of it. When we blow it, when we get in the way, when we take charge, when we fail, God doesn't throw up his hands and say, oh my goodness, my plan was foiled. I have to give up on that one. Do you know Romans 8:28? I don't know. All things work together for good with those who are called according to God's purpose. All things work together for good. Even our screw-ups. All things work together for good with those who are called by God. All things. And God's plan for us isn't diminished by a storm, by a mistake, by our sin, by our wandering. What God wants to do is to take that and to use it to fulfill his plan for your life and for my life. Oh, that was so important to hear for me. That I didn't negate God's plan for my life. And that God still wanted to use me, even outside of the storm, on the other side of the storm. And that's the truth with you. That he wants to use you, and his plan for your life, his purpose for your life, is in force and is going to continue. Regardless of what it is that is going on in your life, regardless of what it is that you will experience in your life, why don't you do what David did? Psalm 56 says, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? There's a verse for memory. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? Here's another one. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The truth is, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know three things. I know if I build my life on these three unchangeable facts that I can handle enormous stress in my life. And it's not only because the Word of God says it, I've experienced it. Trust me in this, folks. Trust me. All you need to know is that God will never stop loving you, even when you feel unlovable. He will never stop loving me. Secondly, that I know that God's word is always the right thing to do. It may not make sense. It may seem really counter to what people might be telling me. But God's word is always unchangeable, and that God has a purpose for me that's greater than my problems. And that's true for you. Anytime I start doubting those things, these three truths, then we get ourselves in trouble. When I start doubting God's love, then guess what? Hope evaporates. When I start doubting God's word, then I tend to do my own thing. When I start doubting that God has a purpose, I start saying, why is all this happening to me? Rather than seeing that God wants to work through this to fulfill his purpose in my life. So if you want to face the future confidently, it's really as simple as ABC. Let me give you the three ABCs, the ABCs of weathering change. Accept God's love, believe God's word, and commit to God's purpose in your life. That's it. That's all we need, is to accept God's love, to believe God's word, and to commit to God's purpose in our life. If we do those three things, then guess what? There's no need to fear. And that can weather any storm. Do you believe it? Pray with me, would you? Well, before we even start, if you have never invited Jesus into your life, and I'd invite you to say right now, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life and change me. I want to follow you. I want to grasp a hold of your love. I want that stability in my life. I want that fact to be resonant in me each and every day of my life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for each one of us today that we would accept your love and that we would hold on to that as the most unchangeable thing in this changing world, that you love us unconditionally. That is so hard for us to grasp because, first of all, we don't deserve it. And second of all, it's not the way that we love. And yet the unchanging truth of time is that you love us unconditionally and for everlasting. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And now, Lord, may we just use that as the anchor in our lives in the midst of storms, and to believe your word and to hold to it tenaciously, to not only uphold us and encourage us, but also to guide us. And may we also, Lord, commit to your purpose for our lives, that we don't live for ourselves, but that we live for you, and that we desire to be what you've made us to be and do what you've made us to do, even when there are detours that we have taken in life. So, Lord, I thank you that in this changing world that you have unchanging truths, your love, your word, your plan for our lives. Lord, may we stand on that solid ground. Build our lives on it. Withstand storms. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that you not only create and sustain this universe, but you care for each of us individually. So, Lord, work in us. May we leave here knowing full well that we are loved by you, believing fully in your word, committing to living your purpose, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.